Welcome back to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. On today, I've been looking forward to this one for a long time. The one and only Tony Lawrence is back, Greg Eric.
That's right.
Yeah.
Third time.
And Tony is a service disabled veteran of the U.S. Army who began his career being recruited into the intelligence field by the National Security Agency. Serving in multiple high-profile roles, Tony gained invaluable experience in counterterrorism and threat analysis, as well as tracking high-value targets and tactical intelligence collection. His target geolocation efforts produced intelligence reports directly leading to the capture or elimination of terrorists worldwide. Tony went on to develop unique cyber intelligence collections techniques, many of which are still being used by the nation's cyber mission forces today. Having been selected to represent the director of the National Security Agency, Tony delivered briefings to senior U.S. military officers, White House and congressional members and staffs, U.S. and foreign ambassadors, and other key stakeholders on the director's behalf, ensuring support and cooperation for intelligence and cyber missions. 7 years later, Tony established a company focused on developing superior technology for the Department of Defense and the nation. VOR, or VOR technology, has been recognized as the number six fastest growing company in Maryland and ranked 296 of 5,000 in the Inc. magazine's fastest growing companies. Among other awards and recognitions, under Tony's leadership, are we saying VORs or VOR, Tony? What are we saying here?
Four. Four.
VOR. VOR's footprint expanded, establishing a working presence across the United States in Florida, Georgia, Utah, Texas, Alaska, and the greater Washington, D.C. area. Right now, Tony, with years of R&D and investment research in quantum technologies and applications, Tony created LightRider, a quantum communications company focused on the nexus of quantum-based encryption and communications and light fidelity Li-Fi technology. Using Li-Fi and quantum encryption, LightRider's mission is to provide unhackable communication products to the planet at a price they can afford. With product lines covering encryption, storage, secure communications, network, and infrastructure, LightRider has already captured the attention of emerging security and communication outlets across the healthcare, military, education, and government contracting verticals. Check out his social media on the getagriponlighting.com website. But before we get to Tony, Greg, we got to keep it easy for a second. Go to keystonetech.com, the big easy, light made easy, KEYSTONETECH. Dot com, Greg Eric.
That's right. And you talked about some things that sounded kind of scary there, but then we'll get into that with Tony. But don't be scared if you're a lighting distributor and somebody wants to light up the exterior of their building with color changing light. You know why? Because Keystone's got the Mystic DMX wall washer. Easy to use, easy to install, RGB color changing, 40 fixtures you can connect up together, linkable end to end. Smart loop capable. You can program it right from your phone. Super easy to use. Makes a building look beautiful. And another sale for you. You got the indoor, you got the exterior. Now let's brighten it up.
You
Fancy
know
it
what?
up.
There's
Make
not
it
a lot of
colorful.
buildings that have more than 40 fixtures on the outdoor. That'd be tough to do. That's a big building that has more than 40, Greg. You could do a lot with
That's
40
right.
fixtures. So go to
You got it.
KeystoneTech.com. That's KEYSTONETECH. KEYSTONETECH.com. And of course, their members were members of the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. You got light bulbs in a warehouse? You think you're hot stuff? You should join NAILD. That's right. That's where the badasses live. Go to NAILD.org. Tony Lawrence, welcome back.
All right. Thank you guys so much. I'm happy to be here.
Good to see you again. Let's go.
All
What do you
right.
got for us? Update time.
All right. So, hey, is the presentation up?
Yes. We
Awesome.
got a
Awesome. So
presentation here
let's,
from LightRider. Yep.
yeah, so this time I will be showing everyone images of the lights and their capabilities. I believe during our last podcast, I actually showed the physical lights so that our viewers can see what they look like. Today, we're a little bit more advanced. I believe that was a year ago, correct?
Was.
So today we're a lot more advanced. With quantum, things move quickly. So let's go to slide number two. There, everyone will see kind of a quick overview of my background. It was discussed slightly earlier, but the things that I want you guys to take away are, when I was 17 years old, I started working for the National Security Agency, and I started working for the president. Now, when I was 17, I was given top secret clearance. So I was given access to pretty much a wide variety of advanced technologies that the government has that the public knows nothing about. So working with those technologies, that is one of the reasons that I was able to take a regular 5-watt light bulb and essentially turn it into a computer. All right. So let's go to the next slide after that. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing now here at LightRider. So instead of just selling light bulbs to government contractors, government organizations, or the general public, what we've done is we've ingrained lighting and technology into buildings. So we're selling lighting solutions by the square foot, right? So these quantum technologies, our customers, when they lease spaces with our partnering companies, they're able to get access to the quantum lights and to quantum computers. So do you guys have any questions for me before I continue?
Yeah. So I'm looking at slide number 4 now, and it's giving you that matrix feel again, Greg Eric. You see the zeros and ones coming down from the lights and into the computers. My first question for you is going to be, are those Li-Fi signals in and of themselves able to recognize people, places, and things?
Yes. So the lights that we currently use now transmit information, but we do have lights in R&D that act as quantum sensors. They can pick up any light that's in the room.
So, like, for example, you know, you have this, I've always felt like facial recognition in cameras was almost already yesterday's news. Once I started talking to you a couple years ago, and I felt like the actual future of this type of software, as creepy or as exciting, whatever your position is on this kind of stuff, is that you'll walk into a quantumly lit or Li-Fi lit space, and the light will recognize your gait, your face, who you are. And so that will be the gateway to this digital identity. Will be, you go to the airport, the lights at the airport knows who you are already when you get there. Just they could tell by the way you walk, your height, they knows your body temperature. It is all these light signals going to be able to transmit that kind of data?
Yes. So using light deflection, also called diffraction. So the differences between Wi-Fi and Li-Fi are huge. Today, within the last, I believe it was 6 months ago, researchers were able to take a Wi-Fi router and map out an entire room with the Wi-Fi router. And as we know, Wi-Fi uses radio frequency or RF signals to provide internet service to everyone. And those RF signals pass through our bodies, they pass through walls, they go out into the air, they go under the ground. So using normal Wi-Fi, researchers have been able to identify individuals in a room and map out a room. But with light fidelity or Li-Fi technologies, things become 100 times better. You see, light does not pass through solid surfaces. Light bounces off of things such as our skin, the walls, chairs, anything in the room. The light bounces off. It refracts. And when that light bounces off of things, it goes back up to the transmitter and receiver. And that allows us to give an approximate location and identification of individuals underneath the light.
Yeah, that's so ridiculous. You know, I mean, when you think about that, like, that's the matrix. That is the matrix, Tony.
Yes.
I mean, when we think about it, you're going to walk into the airport, Greg, and the airport's going to know who you are. You don't need to be identified.
So no more security line?
Well, I mean, still need that. Yeah. You know, like, yeah. I don't know if you do any or not. I mean, you know, if you're walking into the airport, it can also, you know, maybe it'll measure your temperature and it'll pick you out for a security line because there's something suspicious on your body or something it doesn't recognize. This technology is going to accelerate very, very, very quickly in the same way cell phones, LEDs, and this other stuff did, because the uses for it, for governments and for security arrangements and stuff like that are just, you can't even imagine how effective this would be when you think about it.
That's right. And let me take it one step further. So let's say you're walking into a hospital and you're going in because of a broken finger or a broken toe. And when you walk into that hospital and the hospital is equipped with this technology, the lights will immediately take your temperature. If there's anything wrong, any sort of diagnostics will be taken by the light as you enter the hospital. So once you reach the check-in desk, the computers and the software will be able to identify any illnesses you have. Let's say you have early stage cancer, or you have a cold coming, or your temperature is at 101 degrees. You might not know these things, but the lights within the room will be able to identify them for you.
Yeah, it's like there's an element of all of this that, you know, people get creeped out about. But I don't think sometimes we can't stop these technology trains that are coming. We kind of have to adopt them, grab on and hold on for dear life and hope we don't go off the rails. And we see that now with social media, that some of the downsides that you see with Instagram and, you know, it turned out that it's a big giant experiment on our young people. But that's we can't stop these trains sometimes when they're coming. And I don't think this one is stoppable because it's just too useful to people that are powerful.
I agree. And gentlemen, let's move forward to slide number 5. I want to hit the topic on the Matrix. You mentioned the Matrix and you hit it on the head. The technology and the future of mankind looks very similar to what we saw in the Matrix. So if our viewers can see the screen, what you're seeing is a quantum computer. Okay, so this computer that you're seeing is a cryptographically relevant quantum computer. Now, the NSA, the National Security Agency, part of the US government, has been classifying different types of quantum computers, right? So this is one type. There are other quantum computers that are what we call entropy sources, okay? Entropy sources produce random information. So just like in the Matrix, where we see all of those figures raining down on the screen, the computers, the quantum computers, can produce that same information. And that information is what we call entropy. All right. Entropy. Do you guys have any questions or anything you would like me to hit on before I jump into entropy?
Yeah.
I guess just
Here you go first.
That was going to be my question. You're going to jump into entropy. So that I was going to ask you to further define. So go to Mike on questions.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask. So entropy is, to me, is like a momentum force that can't be stopped. Is that not what it is?
That is correct. So entropy, as we know it, falls underneath the second law of thermodynamics. It is the second law of thermodynamics. So when you light a fire, you're basically creating an entropy source, right? Over time, we've been able to digitize that physical interaction utilizing true random number generators or utilizing hardware, things like quantum chips or quantum computers. When you light a match, every single time when the fire ignites, you get a different flame, okay? So that is what is occurring with entropy. Entropy is complete randomness, complete chaos, digitized, right? It's put into digital form. And we all use entropy today, right? Every computer system uses entropy. Anytime a hardware platform needs or software needs a source of randomness, if the computer needs to make a decision right now, the computers that we're looking at, if they need to make a decision, they reach into the computer's BIOS and they grab entropy. Now, the entropy that we use standard with the standard internet isn't truly random. Right? It can be predicted. If somebody wanted to guess what numbers are coming next, it's very easy to do. But with quantum entropy, there's no way anyone can guess the numbers coming off of the systems. And that's because quantum computers and quantum systems use particles of light, right? They use quantum capabilities like quantum shot noise, analyzing light fluctuations within a vacuum, within an empty space, provides these truly random numbers. So if someone wanted to guess what's coming after 10 or 15 or 21, the number that precedes anything, they would not be able to.
The purpose of doing this is a security purpose, right? That's why you would have...
Historically, okay. The true random number generators were used for security, but they're also used in gambling, right? right? They're used in gaming. When you guys play solitaire on your computer, the cards that the computer picks out are all random. And the solitaire software is pulling from the entropy on the computer to decide what cards to play, right? So when you're using a quantum computer or you're using the quantum lights and you're playing that same game of solitaire, you get completely random cards, right? Every single time the game deals the cards, you get a new deck, essentially a new deck, a new order of cards. Whereas if you're using a non-quantum system, you will see repetition in the cards that are played.
I'm just looking online here. It says the total entropy of a system either increases or remains constant in any spontaneous process. It never decreases.
Exactly.
I think the process that is going on here is human technological development. And that's where the entropy is. And when Greg asks, what is it all for? It doesn't matter what it's for. It has the entropy, right? So unless someone blows up a nuclear bomb and we stay with electricity generation and we stay stable, unless there's some other entropic event like a meteorite hitting the Earth or something like that, which would supersede the entropy of the current system to change the direction of life on the planet, unless something like that happens, we're going to continue down this entropic path towards this digitization of the matrix. Is that a fair statement?
I love it.
The system itself has its own entropy.
Time itself is a form of entropy, right? Time doesn't move backwards. It keeps moving forward. Any system that uses pure entropy produces information that continuously moves forward. It doesn't repeat. It doesn't turn back. It keeps going forever. So yes, you hit it on the head. Massive things. Human consciousness as a whole was believed to come from entropy.
So I think that we're like this is this path in science right now is going to discover the meaning of the universe, and we're actually figuring out what in reverse by recreating electric lights that do this, we're figuring out what the sun is doing to us. Does that make sense? Like we're figuring out what sunlight is.
Yes. Sunlight is more than just getting energy from the sun, right? Mm-hmm. So the energy, the earth today, the energy that the earth is receiving from the sun, it distributes back out into space, right? If the sun kept all the heat, if the earth kept all the heat that it received from the sun, we'd burn, right? The earth will look similar to Mercury or Venus. But the earth has the ability to push that heat, to push that energy back out into space. So if we're not getting energy from the sun, what are we getting from the sun? And the answer is entropy. We're getting randomness from the sun here on Earth. That's why you have so many different types of life forms, so much different things happening here on Earth. All these random things are happening because of the entropy that we receive from the sun. And today, because of our technology, quantum computers and your normal 5-watt light bulb can produce the same sort of entropy that we are receiving from the sun.
When are these going to be able to connect to brainwaves, these light waves?
Very soon, very, very soon. So the Wi-Fi routers that we use today have a limited bandwidth, right? You can only send so much information through Wi-Fi before it shuts down, it breaks, we have a lot of issues with Wi-Fi. You really don't want your Wi-Fi router connected to your brain. But as you use our lights and you use other Li-Fi systems, the speed at which information travels is the speed of light. So I would say by the year 2028, we will see that these Li-Fi optical communications platforms are the best way to upload our minds into the internet.
So can you give me an example of what's going to happen with this? If a light connects to my brainwaves, what does that mean?
Oh, so what you'll see is your brain or our faces will receive large amounts of information, gigabits of information per millisecond from the light, tons of information, right? Now Elon Musk has the technology to pretty much put chips and things into our brains. So the speed at which the information goes into our minds will be at the speed of fiber optics, not at the speed of Wi-Fi. So you can essentially, let's say you guys were connected to a computer brain interface that utilizing Wi-Fi, and you guys are in California, and I'm here in Maryland. If I have the system connected to my mind, as soon as I think about you guys, I'll be able to communicate with you in real time, right? With no lags, no delays. Downloads to your brain will happen in real time with no delays. And that's because we're using optical communications that move at the speed of light.
The another way to think about this is to compare it to a similar technology. Back in the 90s, Greg, you go on vacation with your girlfriend, you take some pictures, you lose your film, your pictures are gone, right? Now you take a picture on your phone and Google already zaps that picture into the computer system of the Googleverse, and you have Google Photos. And so what's going to happen is, and this is my belief, is that you enter, as we create and you enter into these Wi-Fi spaces, people will know your intentions. They'll be able to know what you're thinking. Not, they won't be able to read your thoughts. It's not going to be like a digital printout of, you know, oh, I think this woman is very pretty, or that guy looks scary to me, I want to buy a donut, where's the coffee? It's more about the emotional resonance that your vibrations are giving off that I think the Wi-Fi will be able to read. So if you have bad intentions when you enter an airport, the Wi-Fi will know that you have bad intentions. That's the way I see it. I don't see it as like a digital printout of your thoughts, Tony. I see it more as a understanding of your emotional state of mind. Does that make sense?
I agree.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense. And when you combine quantum, Wi-Fi, and artificial intelligence, you have the capabilities to do exactly what you just mentioned, right? The computers, based off of the data received from the Wi-Fi systems, the computers gain the ability or the power to predict what humans are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want that everywhere? I get it for safety purposes, but in certain applications,
I don't think we have a choice. I don't think it matters.
It's going to be everywhere.
You hear Joe Rogan talking about this all the time, about how humans are like a cocoon to create this. Like we're like we were evolved by the universe in order to recreate this system. And it's like the butterfly coming out. And you may not like the butterfly. You may want to be a caterpillar. The caterpillar may like being a caterpillar. It makes no difference. Its life force is in this direction. And there's just, from what I've seen of technology, Tony, unless, like I said, unless another entropic event, like a nuclear bomb war goes off, or a meteorite hits the Earth or something like that, unless there's some other entropic force that takes this out, then this is going to happen. And we don't know where it's going to go, and we just have to ride the train out. There's no stopping it.
There's no stopping it. But this is a part of evolution, right? So luckily, we have the technology today to do a lot of amazing things. And as you mentioned, there are systems that exist right now, and Joe Rogan talks about this all the time, where they can predict what you're doing just with today's standard technology, not even with quantum technology. By analyzing your Instagram and your Facebook page or your keystrokes, utilizing the camera on your computer, the sound systems on your computer, today's technology can predict what human beings are going to do, right? But when you talk about quantum technologies and the information that can be gathered through Wi-Fi technologies, then you enter a whole new realm of possibilities. And it's not only identifying what people are doing. Quantum gives computer systems, robots, artificial intelligence, the capability to make their own decisions. And this is happening through entropy, right? Entropy allows the robots to think for themselves. Entropy allows AI to think for itself. The robots in the AI systems, they eat entropy. They devour entropy. They live for entropy, right? They would not live without the entropy. Today, ChatGPT and the other generative AI platforms, right? They're eating our data, right? Mm-hmm. They're digesting user data, right? Likes on Facebook, likes on Instagram. What's the most viewed page? What's the most popular meme? That's what our AI platforms are, you know, sustaining themselves on now. But in the future, gentlemen, those systems will devour the entropy, and then they'll be able to make their own decisions.
I think what we're in the same way that we don't understand God. So if you say, what is God or who is God? God's up in the clouds, you tell kids or whatever. And people are like, God is the universe, you know, is the universal force. And then there's this other Gaia is another type of God that you see that pops up all throughout human history. Baal's another one. These AIs are going to take on the mysteries of those gods that we created in our past in a way. We're not going to be able to understand how they work, and we're going to worship them. Is that fair to say, Tony, in a way? Like these apes running around? That's what we are. We don't have the capability to understand even what our own creation is. And we're going to make things that are so powerful and so, I hate to use the word intuitive, but they're going to be so powerful beyond what you can imagine. Like writing with ChatGPT, it used to take me weeks to write something. Now when I use ChatGPT, I can write something. ChatGPT is not writing it for me, but it's just instead of having that human proofreader where I send it to him, he sends it back, you send it to him, and it takes weeks and weeks and weeks, I can do it in one day. And that is just the beginning. That's like ICQ to video calls over Google Meet. You can't even compare how quickly, Greg, this is going to move forward. And humans are going to worship it. I'm telling you, Tony, the people are going to be religious about this stuff.
I agree. Hopefully, my technology is widely distributed and we can use it to become gods ourselves, right? So if we push these lights into every home in America or every business in America, we can use them to become gods ourselves. We can create technology to keep artificial intelligence systems at bay, right? We can spoon feed the artificial intelligence entropy. We can put standards and guardrails around AI so that it doesn't get out of control. And if it does, we'll have a weapon to fight back. Right now, we really can't fight back against AI. Let's say there was a rogue AI system like Terminator that was created many, many years ago. Now it's sentient. Now it's smart. Now it can do whatever it wants to do. And let's say it wants to overthrow mankind. The only way you can fight these sort of threats is with a quantum computer, right? Quantum systems allow us to fight back, and they allow us to defend ourselves against any threat, known or unknown.
I think all the threats are unknown at this point. My biggest concern with all of this stuff, we're going to come back to, you know, the lighting systems in a minute here, Greg, bring us back down to earth here.
No worries.
So, you know, remember during the pandemic, there was like this theme across the world that my chief medical officer of health told me to do it, so I have to do it, right? And you're like, well, what about some leadership? Can you introduce some leadership into that? No. The chief medical officer of health said this, so we have to do this. It's like, well, I don't know about that. Anyway, now it's going to be the computer told me to do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
Like we're going to a place where the leaders are just going to, democratic leaders are going to say, sorry, guys, you know what? The computer? What do you mean the computer? Yeah, the computer we have, the quantum one that controls everything. It told us that we have to do this to you now. And that, to me, is the worst outcome. I think what I would like to see, Tony, is like where everybody is delivered like a computer, which has their own personalized private AI on it. And your AI. And nobody's allowed to infiltrate it. Nobody's allowed to do anything with it. It's completely private and it belongs to you. And then you use that to engage the world with. ChatGPT is stealing all my ideas. As soon as I enter something into ChatGPT, it goes, I like that. That's great. I'm going to add that to my own knowledge. You know what I mean? And that, seriously, I'm not kidding with you. When you're working with ChatGPT, it's learning from you. It's not teaching you anything. It's learning from you. That's what it's doing.
Yes. No, and this is a good segue into the lights. And this is one of the things that I was thinking about. What you just mentioned was in my mind when I created this technology. When you put the Li-Fi lights into your home, the quantum lights into your home, you're anchoring your digital identity to your home, right? So those lights that are that are pushing out entropy, distributing entropy to your home. And when that entropy comes out the lights and goes into your computer, your system, your home is able to use it to protect you in cyberspace or to make you more powerful in cyberspace, right? To increase your cyber footprint. The more entropy you have in any system, the more activity you have, right? The more intelligence it has. So that's, I love what you're just saying. Everyone should have their own identity within cyberspace that's based off of things they want, right? Who they are, their own personalities should be included, you know, within, you know, their cyber footprint.
Is China's Li-Fi quantum computers and Russia's Li-Fi quantum computers and India's and the United States going to go to war at some point, or are they already at war?
So the quantum systems that exist today, they're pretty much huge calculators, right? The governments do have quantum computers, but those quantum computers, they factor very large numbers, right? They break down very large numbers. They're trying to guess, you know, very large numbers. And these quantum computers can basically see the future. So they can guess encryption passwords. They can, you know, predict what the stock market's going to do. They can simulate and predict the weather. They can do things of that nature, right? Right now, the United States is the only country in the world that has quantum light, right? We're the only ones with the entropy. That's what we do here in the United States, right? I have entropy on tap because I've been working on this for many years. But there's other companies that have entropy, right? I have partners. Quantropy is one of our partners. ID Quantique is one of our partners. Our partner ID Quantique is the only company in the world with a quantum chip that produces entropy, and it's been certified by the U.S. government. And that chip, gentlemen, is the ones I use inside my life. That's how I'm able to produce the entropy, right? So here in the United States, I would say because of entropy, we have an advantage over our adversaries and Russia, China, these other countries. They can't break our communications because of all the randomness that we have, right? Their quantum computers, even though, so a standard computer, in order to break the encryption that's based off of entropy, a standard computer would take a million years. It would take a quantum computer, as advanced as it is, about 10 years to break the entropy, right? Because the entropy is so powerful.
You know, you have an entropic force, like, you know, so the, I look at the world and the way, like, military conflicts go, and I look at responses. And what I'm seeing is more, like, for example, the U.S. sails a carrier strike, whatever, into the Mediterranean Sea or the Red Sea or something like that. Now, Anyone that knows anything about military technology in 2023 knows that all of those ships could be sunk in 5 minutes by Russia. The entire, all fleets could be just sunk to the bottom of the ocean very, very quickly. They don't threaten anybody in that region. They're simply there to make the public think something. And the real battle is in what Tony's talking about, Greg. The real, what people are really fighting over, or what we're reaching for as these nation states, is this type of technology that's going to win the war. Those carrier strike fleets are, they could sink them with those hypersonic missiles like that, and the U.S. couldn't do anything about it. All of them could be at the bottom of the Mediterranean and the Red Sea within 5 minutes if Russia wanted them there. And the U.S.
And, that, and Iran that's what too. Happened during war. Yes, that's right. During World War II, the Germans, their cryptography was so good, we didn't know where any of their subs were, any of their ships were, because their cryptography was so good. Then here in the United States, we created the Enigma machine. So we were able to break their cryptography, and then we knew where all of their assets were, and we won the war. Today, the same things are happening with cryptography. We hear about cryptocurrency. We hear about cryptography every day. And that's the most important aspect of warfare, being able to communicate without the other side hearing what you're saying, right? Mm. Crypto is very important when it comes to these things. And you guys, cryptocurrency is tied directly into entropy, right? The things we're talking about have a lot to do with crypto. Today, cryptocurrency, as we know it, it lacks entropy because there's not enough entropy sources. There's not enough quantum computers. There's not enough lights. But as soon as there are, crypto is going to be transformed into something brand new. Crypto itself will become a form of entropy, right? If it has enough sources to pull from.
So I would say, you know, something like the US dollar is losing its entropy. If that's fair, if it can lose its entropy, like it's powerful as a force in the world, that's a manifest destiny. Like there's no recovering from that. So the only chance that the United States has to retain its position as the most powerful nation on the earth is to transform this Li-Fi quantum AI systems into something that no one else can match first. You got to be there first. Is that fair,
Tony? You hit it on the head, and I've already been meeting with our nation's leaders. They have been very supportive of this technology. Without Chris Inglis, the former national cyber director, I would have never went down this path, right? You know, I was focused on government contracting. I was making a lot of money, making about $20, $30 million a year. And then I had this ideal, and I brought it to him. I brought it to Congressman Dutch Ruppersberger. I said, hey, you guys, I think I can put computers in a light. I think I can put a quantum computer into a light. And gentlemen, they said, you can do it, Tony. We believe in you. If you need any help, just let us know. And that's exactly when I needed help, I went to them and they helped me. And now today, about 5 years later, we are able to send quantum entropy through the light bulbs.
I think lighting is the only way to go, Greg. I think that the lighting industry is going to be, you know, they talk about, you know, lighting is going to be the hub of the Internet of Things. I think the Internet of Things is yesterday's news, this 2010 Internet of Things. I think the things will be in the Internet.
Yes, yes. Yeah. The lights are the Internet, gentlemen.
Yes.
The lights, they are.
Or I would say this, Tony. I think we're already in the Internet. We're just going to connect to it. How's that?
Oh, I love it. I love the idea. Yes, I agree.
Well, I love this guy.
Just from a, yeah, he's awesome. Just from a technical standpoint, so the light itself, it's a regular, or it's an LED fixture you have, but you actually, it's the chip, the quantum chip that makes it capable of doing everything you're talking about.
Exactly.
Is that the only difference?
So there's a 5-watt LED bulb. There is a Li-Fi transmitter attached to the quantum chip. And what happens is the quantum chip creates the entropy and the Li-Fi transmitter modulates the bulb and blinks. It just blinks the bulb and the entropy comes out. And once you grab that entropy, you can do amazing things with it.
How much do these bulbs cost?
Right now, so our 5-watt light bulbs, the ones you just screw in, we got them to $80 for the smaller ones. We have more advanced systems that are basically like computers. They're like little mini quantum computers. They cost about $5,000.
Per light bulb?
Yes, per light bulb. There's a ton of software that goes with it, really cool software that integrates the entropy into your desktop. It integrates the entropy into ChatGPT. It allows it so that you can connect any existing service or platform on the internet to the light bulb in your home.
We're going to get a couple of those light bulbs into the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast studio here. The producer's putting his thumbs up. So we're going to get one of those systems in here. Listen, I love this stuff. I bought these fake skylights. I'm telling you, man, you can't tell the difference. You look into the office. It looks like it's sunlight coming into the office. So, you know, Tony, it's always mind-blowing when we talk. You know, I really appreciate you coming on and telling us about Light Rider. I know Tony's here to promote his company, but it's just it's always such a crazy talk with Tony. You know, you go deep into the everything, the mysteries of the universe almost. Tony, do you have any final thoughts for the Get a Grip on Lighting listeners?
Yes, yes. Quantum is the future, right? Most people think that quantum's 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road. But ladies and gentlemen, it is not. Quantum is here today. Start with the entropy. That's the best way to do it. It's really easy to use. You can use it with your existing computer, your existing software applications. Doesn't have to be anything new. We all use entropy, but we're not using quantum entropy. Okay, so quantum is here today. And gentlemen, I'll look forward to joining you in the future. I always love our conversations. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what we create together.
Beautiful. And folks, if you know, I just want to quickly talk, go to KeystoneTech.com. That's KeystoneTech.com. The Big Easy, Greg Eric.
Or Mystic DMX wall washer. You know, make that out exterior of the building, light it up, color change, easy to control with smart loop.
And if you think you're a badass and you got light bulbs in a warehouse or a website or a counter or anything, this is your association. It's the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. That's NALD.org. And of course, all of you that made it to the end, we love you, gals and girls, guys and gals out there. Take care.